Coming up on Encouragement Live, we'll talk Christmas traditions, and there are many, from Christmas Eve worship to trimming the tree and wrapping those gifts. We'll be talking tonight those traditions with Dr. Rex Rogers of Sat7 on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically-based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us. It's live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas. Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically-based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. And since Christmas is just around the corner, Christmas tradition seems to be a great topic. Dr. Rex Rogers is back here with us to help us address this. In the past, a little over 2,000 years since that humble but majestic birth of our Savior in Bethlehem, people all over the world have celebrated Christmas with thousands of different Christmas practices and traditions. Now, the Bible doesn't provide specific practices about traditions, as it does, for example, for communion or baptism. But as with all the things in our lives, believers should assume their traditions align with and do not violate Scripture. And with that introduction, Rex, it's great to have you back on the program. I think this is going to be a great topic.
Well, thank you, Don. It's a wonderful season, and the older you get, the more you enjoy it.
Isn't that the truth? You know, children of all ages enjoy Christmas, including those of us who are in our 70s, 80s, and even in that age bracket, I would say. Talk about various Christmas traditions and how they are an integral part of the holiday season. How do they work?
Well, it's important. It's part of memories. It's part of family. It's part of connectivity with friends. It becomes an emotional thing. It represents home for many of us. You think of the sailors and the soldiers that are overseas and in times of duress.
Yeah.
Being able to come home for Christmas, got a lot of songs that reference that. So it just really is part of all of that, even for non-religious people. Certainly for Christians, it's an even more special time as you focus on the birth of our Savior.
Yeah, and I know that probably going to be at least one person call in tonight and say, well, now, the shepherds were abiding in the fields, so it probably wasn't December 25th. But that doesn't mitigate our celebrating the birth of Christ. In fact, I have friends that celebrate their birthday for a whole month.
Well, it is, and we don't know what date, obviously, of the year. Different Christian traditions celebrate it not just on December 25th, but on January 7 in the Middle East. So whatever date you embrace, if you do it year after year, it becomes a tradition. And the point is focusing on the Savior.
That's our focus tonight, on the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how traditions can point us toward Him. Our toll-free number, maybe you'd like to share your favorite Christmas tradition, and it may be something unusual. 855-586-LIFE is our toll-free number. That's 855-586-5433. Dr. Rex Rogers with me tonight. He's the president of Sat7. Former president of Cornerstone University, author of a number of books, Christian Liberty, Living for God in a Changing Culture, and Gambling, Don't Bet on It. And Rex, I'd like to share a prayer request. I'd like to ask our listening family to pray for my wife, Kathy, who has been in the hospital for a few days now. And we're asking God to intervene in her health and just would appreciate everyone's prayer. Would you lead us in prayer for her?
You want me to do so?
Yes. In fact, I'm going to get you to hold up till we come back from the break. I just discovered I'm coming up on a break, so we'll do that as soon as we come back from our break. If you want to learn more about Sat7, and I would encourage you to do so, to check that out, The website is sat7usa.org. They are beaming Christian programming by satellite television and internet connectivity into the Middle East and North Africa at sat7usa.org. We'll be back.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, Teach Truth, Love Well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu. Crossflix, a complete... Crossflix, platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based shows for the entire family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses, such as Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to a community and join others on their spiritual journey.
Crossflix partners with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support American and Israeli veterans and families suffering from trauma.
Crossflix, educate, entertain, and inspire.
We are back on Encouragement Live. Had just a little bit of a computer freeze up there, and glad we were able to navigate that. And I'm Don Hawkins with Dr. Rex Rogers. He is the president of SAT7, their website, sat7usa.org. Our toll-free number, 855-586-5433. And Rex, I had mentioned to you before we went to the break, my wife Kathy being in the hospital, and would very much appreciate if you would lead us in prayer for her.
Be honored. Father God, we thank you that we can come before you in prayer. And Lord, as we think about husbands and wives, we think all the way back to the Garden of Eden when you looked and thought it's not good for man to be alone. And you created woman, you created marriage and blessed the idea of marriage and family. Any of us know who've been blessed with a wife that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and we know how special that is. And so we pray tonight for Don's wife, Kathy. Pray for Don for his sense of peace and trust in you, that you are caring for her. And then, Lord, we ask that you'd put a hedge about her,
yes,
that you'd protect her physically and spiritually and emotionally, that you would restore her health. We thank you for her and for her life and testimony and the impact that she has upon her family and upon many others, I'm also sure. Father, we pray, Lord, that she might come home very, very soon. And we trust you in this, Lord. We know there's no accidents, and we know that you're able to answer our prayers abundantly, even above and beyond what we ask or think. And so we pray that tonight, Kathy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rex. And by the way, one of the things we want to focus on tonight is the story of the birth of Christ. It's often referred to as the nativity story. Rex, talk to us about the significance of the birth story, the nativity story of Jesus as presented in Scripture.
Well, the nativity story, of course, is the birthplace there in Bethlehem. Sometimes we say in a manger, sometimes we say in a cave. We don't know exactly what it was, but it certainly wasn't, you know, a Hilton. And wasn't a hospital either. And so the Lord was born in a very humble place at a very humble time. But it's a time to celebrate the season. It's profound in its message because this is the incarnation. This is the very God of heaven who has taken on the form of humanity in God's plan in the redemption story. And then he, of course, comes to maturity and eventually sacrifices and gives himself over to God's will on the cross, and is raised again the third day, sacrificing himself for our sins. So we look back to the nativity, and it's wonderful. We celebrate a babe and a baby, but that baby became the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we're eternally grateful, and we're grateful for his humility and kindness, compassion, the values that we can celebrate peace on earth, goodwill to men, if you can remember that from Scripture.
For sure. We remember that from Luke 2. And, of course, John 3:16, most familiar verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That transaction took place on Christmas, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you have questions tonight about whether you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, give us a call. Let's talk about it. 855-586-5433. Crossflix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
Crossflix has partnered with the Seal Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join CrossFlix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
CrossFlix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. Coming back on Encouragement Live, I'm Don Hawkins. So glad to have you with us tonight on the program. We're talking Christmas traditions, and Dr. Rex Rogers is with us. Toll-free number is 855-586-5433. By the way, one of the Christmas traditions is kind of music you're hearing in the background produced by a member of our team, Brad Smithart. You can Google Brad, and you'll find a collection of music that he's produced, and that would make a good Christmas gift. We'll also encourage you to check out Sat7, their website, sat7usa.org. Rex, we've talked about the significance of the story of Jesus' birth, the nativity story. We see nativity scenes a lot this time of year, sometimes referred to as the Christmas crash. When did that public display of nativity scenes get started, and what does this tradition really mean?
Well, near as we can tell, and there are different interpretations, of course, from historians, but it dates at least to the 13th century, meaning the 1200s. And a lot of people say it's in Italy from St. Francis of Assisi, who wanted to create a live representation of the nativity story. But whether then or about that time or a different thing, it pretty much focused on the same thing over time. The humble beginning, the humble setting, whether it's a manger or a cave, as I mentioned earlier, the humility of Jesus' birth, but also then the wise men coming, whether it came right away or within 2 years, as some theologians say. But they symbolize the broader message, the universality of Christ's message to the world. And one of my favorite activities is when I go to Christmas stores or malls or anywhere there are nativity sets, and especially when I travel, to see nativity sets, scenes that are done up in the people group who created them. In other words, I've seen nativity scenes that are Eskimos.
Hmm.
I know that's a word we're not supposed to use these days, whatever the correct phrase is, but I've seen Mexican, I've seen Latin American, I've seen Chinese or Korean, or you go on from there.
And I bet you've seen a lot of Middle East and North African traditions because of SAP 7.
And then Central Africa, you know, where the figures are black. And some people are bothered by this, saying, oh, no, they were Jewish. Well, yeah, they were Jewish 2,000 years ago. We don't know exactly what they look like. But what I like about it is that people see themselves in the nativity story. Mm. And they're able to create art, you know, that's the Christian liberty part. And the representation of the story from Scripture in a way that appeals to them and speaks to them in their culture. I think that's fantastic, and it's a way of sharing the message of the nativity of the redemptive story with anybody and everyone, because it is for anybody and everyone.
And, you know, I love the fact that a lot of churches and also other groups will have living nativity scenes and often use those as an occasion to share the gospel. And we'll actually have people maybe driving through a scene or walking through a scene and an opportunity to put material in their hands that explains the real significance of the season, the Savior, and that kind of thing. So I think that's a great tradition. By the way, some of you have traditions you want to share with us, 855-586-LIFE. Or maybe you have a question about a Christmas tradition. Rex and I would love to hear from you. Now, the Christmas traditions, I would say, abound. As I mentioned earlier, Christmas trees, cookies, gift giving, the 12 days of Christmas. And by the way, I believe you pointed out there are 13 of those in Iceland, right?
There are. You'd have to ask the Icelanders. But that's the beauty of it. Again, as you opened your introduction, you talked about there's no specific directions in Scripture that says we must celebrate Christmas in this way. We should celebrate it in a way that honors Christ, and that makes him central to the story, because he is the story. And we should understand, as we sometimes say, the real meaning of Christmas. There's been the culture wars, you know, in our country in the last few years about saving Christmas. Don't say Merry Christmas, say something else. But, you know, the focus of getting back to what Christmas means, and that's where the gift giving comes in, because the very first Christmas there, when the wise men came, they brought gifts. That's very Middle Eastern, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
To bring hospitality to gifts and to express their appreciation. And we've carried that over into this Christmas season. And, you know, that's part of the thing, the joy of giving. And it's more fun to give than receive. It really is. Your loved ones, your grandkids, or your wife.
Right.
That's the beauty of Christmas.
I just ordered several children's books written by a former student of mine for four of our great-grandchildren, actually five of our great-grandchildren, one of them probably too young to appreciate it. She'll grow up and get to that point. But, yeah, it is fun to give. I was in India, as you know, just a month or so ago, a few weeks ago, and my friends in India are caroling. One of their big Christmas traditions, they will go out night after night and spend 2, 3, 4 hours going to different neighborhoods and caroling. And apparently that also provides an opportunity to share the gospel. That same tradition exists here. I know of people who do that. Now, what would you consider to be the very best Christmas practices and traditions?
Well, you know, as you know, I mean, the word best is a subjective term.
Sure.
And it brings us back to personal preference, or that phrase Christian liberty again, where we should be convinced in our own minds, as it says in Romans 14:5. I mean, the point is about Christian liberty is that we're allowed to do anything that doesn't violate Scripture's teaching and isn't out of alignment with what Scripture says. So if it's not there, then, you know, we can pursue that. And that's where the creativity comes in. And we're modeling God's character when we are creative. And so the best kind of Christmas tradition for you, who knows? Maybe it's the Christmas tree. And the best, you know, for me, maybe it's poinsettia flowers. I don't know. Mm. So, you know, you think about these things, and that's, again, the beauty of Christmas and being able to share with people who enjoy different aspects of it. When you're young and when you're dating, sometimes you like that idea of the mistletoe, right?
Yes, absolutely. not a bad thing for your spouse to walk under that mistletoe.
When you're an old guy, that's right.
Absolutely. Very good. 855-586-5433. Well, let's talk, Rex, about the elephant in the room who is dressed in a red suit and has a long white beard. Some families celebrate Santa Claus with their little children, and some people don't. Is there any problem that you see with involving Santa Claus in family Christmas traditions as long as we make sure that our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, for me, there isn't. And we have been blessed, or we're blessed with four children. They're now middle-aged adults. We have our own grandchildren. Some of them were here today. And when they were very little, you know, three, four, five, six, we involved the Santa Claus thing. I remember that when I was a kid. And you'd get up on Christmas morning, you'd go down, and Santa Claus didn't bother to wrap gifts. He was too busy, you know. So there was a chair there or whatever place you picked out, and that's where Santa Claus's gifts were. And then the ones for Mom and Daddy and everywhere else where, you know, they were wrapped under the tree. Well, kids are smart. They figure this out pretty quickly. They, you know, these days it's television, online, and their friends at school and so on.
Sure.
So I don't see much harm in it. I see more harm in Halloween and some of the occult things that have taken place.
Totally agree with that. Yes, absolutely.
Days of people that have weird, just weird attitudes and values about children. But Christmas, you know, Santa Claus, he's a jolly old guy. And again, that tradition goes back to at least the 13, it goes back farther than that, in Turkey, to a guy named St. Nicholas, who was a believer, and he was kind, and he was generous, and he went around with inherited wealth, and he shared that all around. Now, you know, he didn't have a white beard and wear a red coat and have reindeer. But those things developed over time. With the Dutch and with other Europeans, it was brought to the United States. The U.S., of course, eventually morphed it into kind of a family experience. And then we have accounts like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Popular poems and music. And eventually, back in World War II times, you have, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Gene Autry the Cowboy. You know, that song.
Yeah.
And dang, that sold more. That song sold more than any song in history until Bing Crosby came along with White Christmas.
Yeah, and then White Christmas set the record.
And
now they have a new one out, All I Want for Christmas Is You. And all of these contemporary songs, there are several of them. And it's interesting, you know, you listen to radio stations, including Christian radio stations. And on our internet radio station, The Worship Channel, we are playing, thanks to our engineer, Keith Mayo, a lot of really good Christmas music right now. And I left the hospital a little bit ago. Kathy had the Worship Channel on her phone and was listening to Christmas music, and folks would slip in the room there where she was. She was in ICU, and they'd slip in there and listen to the Christmas music as well. And, of course, right now they're listening to this program, not the Christmas music. But once the program is over, they'll go back to Christmas music. And I think Christmas music is one of the great things. In fact, one thing I want to specifically mention, Rex, and that is the Messiah, Handel's The Messiah. That was a Christmas tradition for us. When I was in high school, I had the privilege of singing in the Messiah for the first time. And Kathy and I both sang in the Messiah with civic choruses and church groups. And to me, one of the great things about the Messiah is the lyrics. Handel wrote great music, but his lyrics are taken right out of Scripture.
Well, it's part of the magnificence of it. And you can add, as I'm sure you would, Silent Night and O Come All Ye Faithful, O yes. Holy Night, First Noel. We have been the joy of the world. We have been blessed from Christian history or Christians living before us in history have handed down to us the beauty of their worship and creation as unto the Lord. And I mean, the music is so wonderful that's part of the joy of Christmas again, of going to a church service, singing together, or as you said, Christmas carols or on your own. Sarah and I, my wife Sarah, I mean, she's a music lover. I mean, thoroughly listens to music all the time. We start early in November because, you know, the stores are going to start playing some kind of Christmas music.
Sure. It's secular, but, absolutely. But
and sometimes the churches don't get around to it until mid-December. Well, we want more of it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Coming up on a break, Dr. Rex Rogers talking Christmas traditions with us tonight. I'm Don Hawkins. You call us about your Christmas traditions and questions, 855-586-LIFE.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Talking Christmas traditions tonight with Dr. Rex Rogers, and we would love to hear from you tonight. Again, that toll-free number, 855-586-5433. Rex, let's talk about Christmas practices and traditions, some of which may reinforce or some of which may detract from the biblical meaning of Christmas. How do we distinguish those?
Well, again, you look back to Scripture, and as it says, be fully convinced in your own mind, and you think, are we celebrating something here that is contrary to Scripture? There is a practice in Germany, for example, of some demonic kind of figure called Krampus, and he comes and he punishes the bad kids on Christmas Eve or the previous Christmas week. And it's really a creepy story to me. Mm. Now, I'm not, but it has no biblical basis whatsoever. So for me, that's one like, what in the world? Where did this come from? Even as at the same time, they celebrate, you know, St. Nick and the Santa Claus and so on. But the ones that we like and affirm, things like the Christmas tree that got started probably in the 1400s, also in Germany. And by the way, a lot of our Christmas traditions date to or go back to the nation of Germany. Mm. And eventually through immigrants and as they went through Europe, like I said, the Dutch and others who brought them into the United States. But you go back to the 1400s for the first Christmas tree, as far as we know. Outdoors, it was decorated with apples and gingerbread wafers and tinsel. And then the first indoor tree, as far as I can tell, in the 1600s. And then by the 1800s, it's in the United States. And again, the German population of immigrants there in Pennsylvania are the ones who kind of carry the ball for us. Got started as an outdoor tradition, like the New York Christmas tree and Rockefeller Center. That started actually in Boston in 1912. And then about a month later or a week later, something like that, it got going in New York City, the Big Apple. President Calvin Coolidge was the first to light a national Christmas tree there in the 1920s. So, I mean, those kinds of things are part of the Christmas tree, of course, speaks to the evergreen aspect of eternal truth. That's the symbol of the tree of life and the symbol of Christ offering us eternal life. And the festivities, of course, is our worship, our honor before God. And it's just a presentation of that. The lights came along later, obviously, and they added to the tradition. Now, these days, of course, with more environmental concerns that some people are carrying forward and cost in folks, sometimes time, it's probably about 75% of Christmas tree customers now or those who plan to put one up as an artificial tree. And, that's nothing wrong with that. It was, like I said, I have four kids. A couple of them have artificial trees. A couple of them have real trees.
Yeah, so, and some people have one of each, you know. And
exactly.
Some people have an indoor tree and an outdoor tree. And it's always a good family tradition for people to be able to decorate those trees and that kind of thing. And I just think anything that can build family camaraderie, family unity, and provide an opportunity to talk about spiritual things and the significance of the birth of Christ is a wonderful thing. Go ahead.
It was that way when I was a kid. I learned it from my dad and mom. My dad's in heaven. My mother's now 93 and still a spiritual force in our family. But what we try to do on Christmas Eve is get everybody quieted down. Maybe we've gone to a church service earlier. Maybe we haven't, depending on the year, whether one's available. And then we sit down, we read the Christmas story.
Yeah, we do the same thing. That's exactly what we do. Usually my wife will fix some either shrimp bisque or lobster bisque. That's kind of our Christmas tradition, and we enjoy that. And we had a little tradition that we did, Rex, that not a lot of people do. But we started this when I was in seminary, and we carried it on, and we do it off and on now. We would take our kids, and we would find a family, and a couple of times it was actually fellow students from seminary. And we would buy presents for the kids and get the right sizes and all of those things. And we'd have those things wrapped up, and we would slip up to the front door of the person's house and ring the doorbell and then run like crazy. And the people would come out, and they'd find those things and have no idea where they came from. And our kids just thoroughly enjoyed, the wrapping and the planning and carrying it out. It was a lot of fun. And now that we're a little older, we're a little more sedate in how we do those kind of things. But
well, you might think me a Grinch or something, but when our kids were young at home, when they were smaller, and you say, hey, Christmas is coming very soon. And God's blessed us, and there'll be gifts. We'll get gifts and share gifts. Is there anything that you have that you would like to, toys that you have that you're no longer playing with, you've grown out of? Of course, Mom would get involved in that. And try to get them to think about something that they could identify that they wanted to give to someone else.
Yeah.
And that was hard sometimes.
Well, sure. I think it's a great idea. Yeah, I don't think that's a Grinch thing. I think that's a great lesson in giving. Again, you mentioned the verse, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I think that really teaches the younger generation, which you and I have been committed to for many years, the value of giving and the fact that the real message here is that God so loved the world that he gave. And so we have privilege of giving too. Rex Rogers is with me tonight. Dr. Rogers is the president of SAT 7, And friend, I would encourage you to exercise giving to this ministry, which is really reaching into the Middle East and North Africa, having a tremendous impact on people in places like Turkey and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and a number of other places like that right now, including Palestine. No question about that. Areas that are really troubled right now. Again, the website is sat7usa.org. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. Luana is listening in Indiana tonight. Thank you for calling, Luana. Go ahead.
That's Luana.
Luana, okay.
Okay, well, it's good to talk to you. I listen to your program as often as I can, which is almost every night, every week.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Christmas tradition. Well, from the time my children were small, I taught them the story of the real St. Nicholas and explained to them where Santa started out and not to tell other kids that they don't believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But our tradition, other than that, my children and my foster children, we made it a habit every year. On New Year's, we would take down our Christmas tree and string it with unsalted with popcorn and apple slices and orange slices and put the tree out for the birds.
Hmm.
And kids really look forward to that, I think, as much as they did Christmas presents.
Well, I think, Rex, we have just heard one of those unusual Christmas traditions, and I just think that's a neat idea for disposing of that natural Christmas tree and doing so in a way that provides for some of God's creatures.
I like it, Juana. It's very cool.
Yeah, very much. Let me pray for you, Juana. Lord, thank you for this dear lady and for her sharing her traditions with us. Grant her health and strength and blessing as she approaches Christmas and with her family. And thank you for the traditions that she has built up over the years. Bless and encourage her for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you for calling us tonight. God bless you, Juana.
Thank you. I'm 82 years old now, so it's been a while since my kids were small.
Well, bless your heart. You probably have great-grandchildren that are not too small, right?
I have one that's 6 years old and one to be born the 15th of January.
Congratulations on the one that's coming and the one that you already have. God bless. 855-586-5433 if you'd like to get in on the discussion of Christmas traditions tonight. Rex, a quick question before we go to the break. Some churches talk about and emphasize Advent, while others don't make much reference to this. Talk about how Advent relates to Christmas.
Well, Advent, and I happen to grow up in the background with churches that didn't talk a lot about this. It's not that they didn't believe it, they just didn't use that term. I have Christian friends where it's a very significant part of their experience in their churches and in many different denominations. But the idea of Advent, of course, is that the birth is coming. You're looking forward to the time of anticipation and hope. Usually it's the four-week period leading up to Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Some churches will, burn a new candle each week up till Christmas Day. And during this time, you engage in prayer and reflection, spiritual practices. It has great, deeper meaning for the holiday. So again, that you don't forget what Advent and what Christmas is all about. And some also celebrate with an Advent wreath.
Yeah.
And typically that's evergreen branches, adorned sometimes with the candles, used on Advent Sunday, and then, the new candle is lit and so forth. So it's a very popular tradition. Sometimes they use calendars to remind them, and I can't find anything in Scripture that would say, hey, this is a bad idea. I think it's just an additional focus on the way to worship and the way to think about Christmas in the run-up to the actual day.
In fact, I like the fact that it starts literally right after Thanksgiving. Our church practices it here. I've been a part of this church for a number of years now, and we do this every year, and it's a real joy. We have different people in the church family that will do readings, and then we'll light one of the candles. And then on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle, and that's, of course, the culmination. But, you know, we have those specific candles, and I wouldn't try to recite the names of them right now. But whether you do that Advent tradition or whether you don't, I agree with you, Rex, that it's really good to start thinking about Christmas earlier, and especially to think about the significance of Christmas and the message of the gospel, sharing with family, with friends, how they can come to know Christ as Savior. And if you have questions about that, give us a call at 855-586-LIFE.
We are at a time when our society is falling apart, and we must cling to the cross of Christ. The Witness webcast is a production of Crucible of Faith Ministries. And here, you will find sound teaching and expert commentary that will anchor you on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Visit us today at www.crucibleoffaith.ca and find the answers you will need for such a time as ours today. That's www.crucibleoffaith.ca.
What do Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutcher have in common? They all trained to preach God's Word at Dallas Theological Seminary, and you can train at DTS too. If you've been called to preach or teach God's Word, find a degree or course that's right for you on one of our campuses or online at dts.edu. Dallas Theological Seminary, where they teach truth and love well. Visit dts.edu.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
And we are so glad to have you with us on the program Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins, talking with Dr. Rex Rogers. The toll-free number is 855-586-5433. And Rex, I noticed in the notes you sent me for our discussion tonight that every year there are, what, 25 to 30 million Christmas trees that are sold in the United States?
That's the latest number. As I say, that number is tending toward declining as people buy more artificial trees. You know, part of this cost. Yeah. You know, a real Christmas tree now might be $100.
Yes.
And spend that once and use the tree for 10 years. That might be a good investment.
Yeah. You know, now, some people have a tradition. I know my daughter Karen and her husband have taken their five children for years and gone to a Christmas tree farm and cut down Christmas trees. And their oldest son is about to get married in late December, and they took their future daughter-in-law with them on their latest Christmas excursion, which they did the day after Thanksgiving, and went to their favorite Christmas tree farm and actually gave her the privilege. And her family had never done anything like that, at least that's my understanding. And so they introduced her to that tradition. So I think, you know, it's always neat when you bring people into your family and you have traditions and you can introduce them, and maybe they have a tradition they can introduce to you.
Well, our family, my wife Sarah and I, actually, we've been living here in Michigan for 33 years. We've done that now ourselves for 33 years, and we did it last Saturday. And the funny part, because a bunch of our kids, you know, got together. There's three of them live in the area, and one lives in another state. They came, and of course, as I said, they're in middle age life now, their own family, their own kids, and so on. But we reflect upon, we have a daughter and three sons, all the different girlfriends over time that that attended that event for us. And, you know, they came and went, and here's the one who lasted.
Yeah.
And there she is as the wife, you know. So it's kind of fun to celebrate those kind of things. I was going to suggest for families that are listening, especially if you have young children, we talked earlier about nativity scenes. If you don't have a nativity set, go find one that fits your budget. Doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah.
And make it a family gathering, outing, event to get that out. Maybe it's Thanksgiving Day or the day after or whenever you start Christmas. And then get your kids involved in placing those. And that's what we did. You know, here's the one of the three kings, and here's the shepherd. Here's Mary and her daughter. She wants to put Mary in, you know, when she was little. And then we save, I would intentionally save baby Jesus till last.
Yes.
And try to rotate who got to put baby Jesus in the manger. The kids still talk about that, and they're in their 40s, you know?
Oh, yeah. And
they're doing it with their own kids, some of them now. So it's very important, and it's a time, of course, of reinforcing what the story and time is all about.
Yes, great idea. And again, we were able to purchase a wooden manger set, nativity set, in Bethlehem on our first trip to Israel. And that's been a big part of our family, and we do that same kind of thing, and it's just great. I wanted to ask you about the Middle East and North Africa, the area where Sat7 is ministering. And number one, are you carrying any special Christmas programming? And number two, what are some of the special Christmas traditions?
Well, we did try to broadcast special Christian music because the Middle East, again, they don't produce a lot of their own music. I mean, they produce their own music, but a lot of their own Christian music. Let me correct that.
Yeah.
And specifically Christmas. And Christmas is practiced, it might surprise you, throughout the Middle East. Now, it varies in regions and families, but despite the fact that there's a very dominant other religion there taking place that doesn't really embrace Jesus as the Messiah, still, Christmas is practiced. In Iran, for example, where we know the mullahs are in power, Christmas in Iran is widely and freely practiced by Iranians who are not Christian, as well as some who are, and they celebrate it usually more on the eve of December 25. They have something they call the Little Fast, which is ritual fasting from animal products for about 25 days from December 1, and it's part of their focus on the meaning of what Christmas is. So it's, you know, there's a testimony in that nation that doesn't otherwise allow much, if anything, in the way of Christian teaching. In Turkey, of course, if you go back to the early church, the first century church, much of Paul's writings, like the province of Galatia or the city of Ephesus, are in Turkey, in modern Turkey.
Yeah.
But Christianity is not very prominent there now. It's like 0.2%. of the population, and still they recognize Christmas traditions that are important to the Turkish people, and they're allowed, quote unquote, legally to celebrate them. Saint Nicholas, as we mentioned earlier, was a bishop who lived in what is now Turkey, and they have various depictions of him. Now, Egypt is the country in the Middle East with the largest number of actual Christian people. In fact, the total number of Christians in Egypt is greater than the number of Christians in all the rest of the Middle East combined.
Mm.
It's a big country. And they focus in on December 25 if they come from traditional backgrounds. If they are Coptic Christians, as they're called there, then it's January 7th. And so consequently, because their denominations are a little different, they have some different ways of celebrating the tradition. Again, they have that nativity fast that they stick to pretty committed to that. But with their doctrinal differences, they're still celebrating the birth of Jesus. So even in Iraq and in Jordan and in Lebanon, the other countries, even Syria, like the Syrians where we've been in the news all last week.
Yes.
There's no Santa Claus in Syria that I can find any record of. But they do have what they call a Christmas camel. Okay, and this Christmas camel is pretty festive and can be decorated. It goes back to the three wise men. And the camel can be pretty festive in the same way that we might have a Santa Claus all decked out in various ways. So it relates to, again, the nativity and the Christmas story.
Want to encourage all of our listening family to check out the website, sat7usa.org. And if God lays it on your heart to practice generosity toward this great ministry that's sharing the gospel with people at this strategic time, then you can give there and certainly pray for this ministry. Back to the phones. Lexi is listening in Texas tonight over American Family Radio. Hi, Lexi.
Hi. I have a question. So I know Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Jesus and his coming, right?
Like yes.
He was born.
Uh-huh.
But I want to know where we got the tradition of the gift giving underneath the tree and like why we celebrate Christmas that way.
All right, let's talk to Rex about that. Rex?
Well, the idea of gift giving goes, as I mentioned earlier, to the three kings or wise men who brought frankincense and myrrh and gold to the baby Jesus, however old he was at that point. So that's where the most scholars say the gift-giving idea came from. Now, the idea of giving gifts under the tree, most of that, like a lot of our Christmas traditions, goes back to Central Europe during the Middle Ages, goes back to Germany, the Christmas tree and the idea of giving gifts to one another kind of just developed culturally over time. Now, of course, it's a major commercial holiday that can be highly secularized and leave Jesus out of the picture entirely. We don't want that. But it is the idea of celebrating joy and peace and hope, and the idea of giving a gift is a celebration and a time to reflect on the miracle of Christ's birth.
Lexi, thank you. Great question. Good to hear from you tonight. Got time for one more caller, and this is Lewis. And I believe, Lewis, you have come from Germany. Is that correct?
Indeed. Very nice to hear from you. Yeah, I was listening to the program, and I heard you guys talking about all the European Christmas traditions. And for somebody like me who lives in Germany but who is in Texas right now, I thought I would give you guys a call and talk a little bit about how Christmas is in my home country of Germany, because indeed so many things that I see here in the United States, we have them in Germany too, and it's just lovely to have the comparison of Christmas in Texas compared to Christmas in Germany.
What's your favorite thing about Christmas in Germany of all the traditions, including the ones that Rex has talked about tonight?
The most important day, Christmas in Germany, is the 24th, Christmas Eve, when you gather with your family and you go to the Holy Mass around 10 p.m. or sometimes 12 p.m. and you just spend the evening with your family. And then on the first day of, like, the first Christmas day, the 25th, this is when you meet with the larger family and you have a second round of gifts and all of that. So the main day is the 24th. And that's always the most magical day. And I got to say, the biggest difference is we have a lot of snow in Germany on Christmas, since the temperatures are in the 20s to 30s. So most of the cases, we have a white Christmas. And that Christmas Eve is always magical out there with the family, and it's snowing, and you go to the Holy Mass. That's always my favorite moment.
And that's where Silent Night was written. I believe that's a big part of where that came from. And Rex, you might want to talk about white Christmases, because you have those up in Michigan.
I was going to say, hey, I was born in Texas, but I live in Michigan. Come up here, we got plenty of whites. We don't always, but we do right now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's part of the beauty of it, I think. And it's something about, you know this, if you grew up with snow, it makes everything quieter.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
Time is quieter. There's not, the birds aren't singing. Everything is just kind of restful and tranquil.
It's like a holy hush falls on the world.
It does. It's really winter wonderland, as we talk about that.
Yeah.
And that's part of the beauty of it, I think, one of the blessings from the Lord. Yeah, I was going to mention, I'm glad you mentioned December 24th. Those who are of Catholic tradition, you know, the Midnight Mass is extremely important. And you can tune in to the Pope, you know, on most channels on any given time when we listen. But Protestant churches usually have an earlier service, but very often have a Christmas Eve service, too, because of, you know, it's a special time.
Dr. Rex Rogers, thank you. And Lewis, thank you for your call tonight. And friend, visit the website, sat7usa.org. Good night.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
The American Family Association. Informed.